Thank you, Praiseman. That was so uplifting. Wonderful, wonderful. Leading us beautifully. Glad to see everyone in the church this morning. This is now the last service we kind of promoting stewardship in terms of teaching, preaching about it. Well, we continue one way or another, of course. And this is not to say that this is the end of our stewardship. This is rather, I would like to say that this is a great inspiration to continue, probably and hopefully with deeper commitment to Christian stewardship than ever before, because that's just to bring more blessings back to your life. That's what it means. Now, this morning, we try to figure out how to serve your purpose. When I say the word purpose, some of you kind of, something happened in your heart right away. You say, Timo, that's what I've been trying to figure. I've been trying to see what my purpose really is in this world, in this church, in this community. Every now and then I feel I got it, but then most of the time I feel I'm not getting it. Now, if you are a young person, you better listen now. If you are a little bit more matured, we don't use the word old in this church at all. We have just the young people and a little bit more matured people. If you are a little bit more matured when it comes to your age, and you feel that, well, I keep on missing it, Timo. I feel that I have come a long way, that I really didn't find my purpose. Listen, it's never too late. It's never too late to find purpose. There are lots of examples in the Bible that men and women, in the later part of their years and age, they were used by the Lord powerfully as an inspiration for the rest of the God's people. So your time is today. Like Chuck Conley in his great speech said, I think it's time to be stewards today, not tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. We'll never get it back. It's time to be steward today. We have also another good talk this morning in the early service. John Maloof gave us a good stewardship talk as well. As the whole series, I think, wonderful, wonderful inspiration going on as we try to think what stewardship is all about today in our life context. How to serve your purpose, how to serve your God's given purpose. Your life is so very meaningful. Your life is so many very powerful to many. But how to serve your purpose? I've been trying to figure it out. By the way, when I start writing down this message, I thought if I'm going to say all this to somebody who listened to me, I better look into my own heart and preach to myself first. Am I okay with all this? Did I figure it out? And I think I try to say, not 100%, but I think I am leaning toward believing that these are the fundamentals of finding your purpose, serving in your purpose, with your purpose. By the way, the first step would be discover your purpose through service. It starts with looking for needs. It shouldn't be a big problem to really find needs in this world with thousands of needs all around you. Have you found one? Lots of needs and more are coming. Service, in a way, discover your purpose. Service is your way to discover your purpose. And there's no other way. It doesn't come to you other way. It doesn't walk to you other way. It is the only way to find God's given purpose for your life is to start serving. If you choose to wait and stay on your loading zone, that word was used in our Wednesday night study. I like it. A loading zone means that you are just waiting. and loading and taking in all the time, taking in, but you never give out. There's no output, only input. You're all the time unloading, so what else I can get, You never start serving. I think we are missing the mark if you do that. You better find a place to serve, to find your purpose. Our Lord Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. Big thing in our communities today, we are missing people who serve. Everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be politically correct. Everybody wants to be something, but there are less and less people really who are serving and serving Christ and serving beautifully. What are your areas of service? Where you find your service? Your family? There's lots of undone work there if you start serving. Your church, of course. Your community, your school, your work. This country has been always famous among other nations about the number of volunteer servants. That's a big thing in the United States, has been. How many times in the Bible it says, serve one another, serve. Not to expect services, serve. When we come to church every Sunday morning, anytime we come, be reminded, start looking, where is it you can serve? Where you can make big difference? The more you serve, the more you can identify where your unique gifts can be used. Serving others can help your experience. What is the different areas of life that where your strengths are? You can't figure it out without serving. There's no way. By serving, you learn to know. And by serving, you learn to know what generosity is all about. Back in Western Kentucky, where I was pastoring for 8 years, and I taught part-time at the Kentucky Wesleyan College, and the dean, Mike Fagan, asked me to write a class, to teach a class on Christian leadership. Christian leadership. Kentucky Wesleyan College is a Methodist-affiliated school. It's a part of Methodist, United Methodist denomination. Great school, by the way. So I said, Mike, I think I know something about leadership, but I don't think I can teach about Christian leadership without adding to it one word. And Mike said, what is that? Serving. There's no leadership in the church without servanthood. There's no Christian leadership or stewardship without serving. If we never figure out what service means in the kingdom of God, we are missing the mark. Nothing in this world is more beautiful than generous service by Christian believers and generous church, generous in service, church that is generous in service. Because I miss sometimes to preach this sermon in Finnish, it would be so much easier to me. Or Swedish, maybe. If you got to choose, between two different churches to attend, the other one is very prominent. There's a word in the community, there's lots of old money in the church. That's the church where all the money people go. But when you step into a sanctuary, and you feel that there is no generosity, there's no welcoming, there is no need to serve anyhow, guess what? I believe you make a decision, I'm not going to go back. It doesn't matter how much money they have, I'm not going to go back. Now there's another church, and there's a word in the community, the people believe in the community, they're very generous. Now they may not be the wealthiest community in the wealthiest church in this community, boy, they are generous. They are serving everywhere. We see their people everywhere doing something, helping somebody, loading groceries, taking groceries to somebody who don't have, giving money to homeless, sending people to mission work, making difference, supporting their kids, teaching children, teaching youth. Gosh, there must be church. So you try that and you see that is true. I believe that's where you want to go, because there's room for you to serve and to make difference. We want to be that kind of church. I know we are probably not the wealthiest church in the world. I don't know anybody's money. Maybe we are. But I can promise you that if there's a need in the community that we can meet, we are trying to do all we can to meet it, to meet that need. That is what Christian stewardship means in the life of the church today. By being generous, you let God to multiply your talents, your service, and all that you have for the blessing of who? For others. For others. For others. If every Christian would remember this Christian most basic law, this world would be so much better place. One night I was watching a worship service on TV, and there are great worship services on TV, don't get me wrong, but this preacher preached about, it was so thick, this preaching was so thick, I don't want theologically, it was very poor, theologically poor, was so big about gaining and getting, and the one of the greatest signs that you are doing well with Christ is that you are gaining more wealth, and you are healthier, you are good looking, and you have all you need in this world. And I thought it's a great theology when you are rich and healthy and beautiful and handsome, but what about when you get trouble with some of these areas? Your theology fail. So there got to be something more in our Christian doctrine. It is service and to be Christ-like servant in this world, to be good stewards with something that God has given to you. Guess what? We don't have to be stewards for somebody else, on somebody else's resources. Only thing God asking us to be stewards on something that He has given to us. If you are young, that's your resources. That's your source, powerful source. If you are talented, if you are a good singer, if you are worried about others, if you are a person you get your hands on, that's your source. If you are a great talker, you are a great communicator, that's your source. If you just love people, you like to hang out with people, you like to be there, that's your source. If you are a deep thinker and you kind of try to pull back, that's your source. God needs you for some planning for something great to empower His ministry. Next thing, perform all actions with purpose. All your works, your actions with purpose. Serve God with right motive. Now, I almost hear some of you say, well, Timo, come on, Timo. Can I serve God with wrong motives? Really? I think you can. What's it? You can. Many people, unfortunately, serve the Lord with wrong motives. Many people do that. Work for the Lord. Serve Jesus. Whether you do a little bit something or something you believe is great, let your primary motive be serving God. According to our epistle reading, you already heard it, Colossians 3, 22, 24, Bible says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. As your reward. Let your motives to be transformed. How we do that? By taking time for the Word of God, the Bible, reading the Bible, allowing the Holy Spirit to motivate you, to transform you, helping you to see the needs and realizing that you are in the place who can help. Instead of having wrong motives, seeking approval and promotion and praise from other people, and that there may be a place for that, that somebody say that you are doing a good job, I really appreciate what you do. But you don't live on that. You got to go deeper than that. You got to learn to understand you are serving the Lord, not serving to get praise and approval and promotions from people, because it won't last too long. This is what good stewardship does to you. It transforms you, and it transforms your entire life, your attitude. Attitude is so very important thing. Elevate the mundane, even the most ordinary tasks, like washing dishes. It's a very important job. Brothers and many, if you are doing that at home, I'm not asking you to quit. Keep on doing that. Doing something little in the church, it can be a great example, inspiration for somebody. I have been told that one of the best dishwashers in this church was Dr. Schaefer. How many of you remember him? I never met him. Physician, mission doctor, working for Redbird Missionary Conference, doing incredible work. Great steward, servant of the Lord. Bob, you are walking in your daddy's footsteps. But I have reason to believe that he was a better physician than you are. In Matthew 10:48-42, Jesus states that anyone who gives even a cup of gold water to one of the least of these my followers in the name of a disciple will surely be rewarded. Don't even think about it. There's something too little for God to recognize when you serve the Lord, when you are learning to be steward. There is no. It all matters. It all counts. It is your heart that matters to the Lord. This is not to emphasize that even the smallest act of kindness and service to others are seen by God. Then last thing before we pray, I think we understand that God wants to encourage us to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill your purpose, living good balance with God's will, living alignment with God's will, allowing the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, to touch your heart deeply. Be intentional about this. This is why we worship. We are allowing the Holy Spirit to touch our motives and our everything about us deeply, avoiding confirming the worldly patterns. We don't have to worry about if the world inspires you. It does. Sometimes good way, and many times not good way. But when you allow the Lord transform you, you become beautiful inside and out. You learn to know about this big concept of Christian life, like stewardship and servanthood and love and mercy and grace. And this all will help you to discern His will for you every single day. That's where we struggle. I was serving in Finnish military a long time ago. And then after boot camp, they gave us a 2-3-day break to go and visit your family if you had a family. Of course, I had family, wanted to go to see my parents on the West Coast. So I step on the train, in the train, and I have ticket, I have seat, and then I have a place there in the section of the train. I find there's one empty seat left, and thank God it was for me, the number matches. And it was next to aisle, so I sit down, and there was a it was a row of seats that there was three people. So my spot was empty before I took over it. Then there was an elderly man sitting in the middle. And then there's the young lady, sweet-looking young lady on the window side. So I was tempted as a soldier boy to ask that older man to take that window side and let that lady sit in the middle. Of course, I didn't do that. But when you are serving and you are traveling long distances, I was just waiting to be seated and to go to sleep. But then this elderly man, of course, when you are wearing a uniform, he said, "Well, young man, where are you serving?" And I told him. And I noticed that this man was a Christian, deeply Christian man. He said, "I served 4 years in the Second World War." And then he looked at me, "Young man, I hope you never need to use that weapon they are teaching you to use." I said, "Well, they did a pretty good job 13 first weeks, every single day, how to use my weapon and several weapons." He said, "I hope you never have to use it." I said, "My father served 4.5 years. See, his brother got killed. This is my uncle. And then one of youngest brother, they lost him behind the enemy lines, but they found him back. So he was, after all, he was fine." This man told me, he used that opportunity to sit next to the young serviceman. He said, "When I was discharged from the army and war was over, I was so broken. I was so broken based on what I have seen and witnessed and all that I have been doing. But Christ found me. I find Christ in my heart. I commit my life to Jesus Christ. And if I didn't do that, I don't know where I was today." And then he looked at me, "Young man, that is what you need to do it. What you need to do it as well." And that's the only conversation I had with this man. I fell asleep and I woke up probably not too long before my destination. When we are steward, we start speaking and acting like Jesus. By allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you, you can begin to think, speak, and act in a way that reflects Christ to everyone you meet. Even the meeting is very short, random, surprising meeting. It can touch your heart deeply. Don't forget, but embrace God's purpose for you, my friends. Recognize that you were created with a purpose, and that God is preparing you for something amazing, where you are needed. There's not one person who is not needed in God's kingdom. You are needed. You are critically needed. Don't give up when things get rough and tough. Remember, Christ is praying for you so you can serve with purpose. I'm closing with reading this prayer that comes from John 17:25. Listen what he's doing for you as I preach and teach. Here's what Jesus says to you and to us. "O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them." And then he prayed just a few words before. He says, our Lord says, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." What is your message? It is your service. It is your witness. But it is your stewardship in God's kingdom. And Jesus is praying for all that, what you are today doing and living through your discipleship and stewardship. Something to take home, to serve your purpose. Focus on endurance. Commit to serving with endurance and victorious Christian living. Staying focused on finishing strong. Your life is short, yet it's a journey to be finished strong by the grace of Jesus Christ, who is calling you and glorifying you and clearing you and what your purpose is. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. We continue this time together before we pray. Continue with the ministry of giving. If the ushers can come forward at this time as we serve the Lord.